tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey, the final season. This is episode 2. I'm joined in the studio. My name's John Comerford, by the way. I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, John Comerford.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, Sir Comerford.
The reason why I was so flustered, we're also joined by, as promised from last week,
Downton Abbey wine.
There you go,
Downton Abbey wine.
And some biscuits.
We have tea.
Because we can't call them cookies.
No, we didn't even open up the tea container.
Absolutely. So, it was interesting. I like the way this particular episode opened up. We had everybody hustling, bustling. We got the ironing of the paper, which I like when it's at your room.
Busy.
It just cracks me up every time I see something like that. They iron the paper.
Yeah. God forbid it have a
wrinkle
in
it. Exactly.
You can't read it if it's got a wrinkle.
Yeah, clearly.
I see the words.
So I had great hopes for this, especially because everybody's at breakfast. They were talking about, we get news from Tom. We get news about Rose, who made him pregnant. What?
Shocker. Mary jumping to conclusions.
You think? Maybe?
A little bit.
Yeah, but.
A little bit.
Because what possible reason could there be for waiting till the summer to come back?
Who knows?
Yeah. But. So let's start off right away with her, Mary, being the agent, and we get Mr. Finch visiting, and we get to see his reaction to the crazy revolutionary thought.
Hold on to your hat.
I know.
What? I'm afraid I'm the agent.
Yeah.
Sorry to let
just
you down.
Stunned beyond belief. Yeah. How could it be?
Stunned, no words.
Yeah. And then he was so flustered that he didn't even know where to continue.
He had a great reaction.
He did.
That actor really did a great job, because he didn't look... Like, he didn't look silly.
No.
From the standpoint of being a cartoon.
Right.
But, you know, definitely the flustered and the surprise.
And every once in a while, I know it's coming. I know, because everything in this world that's topsy-turvy and things, I know it's coming that people are going to be shocked by this, but it still catches me off guard when they do. It's like, what are they so surprised by? But, again, you know, it's a whole different mindset.
She has been with Tom, what's his name, the whole time.
Yeah.
And why would you be so... Who else would there be? It's not like they have another
son
hanging out
at
the house.
Not a woman. And a woman of her stature, which she stooped to be. Well, let's face it. He's there to talk about fat stock show. It's not something you'd think you'd be talking to Lady Mary about.
No.
But she loves the pigs.
She does.
She loves them.
Do you know, quick side note, I swear I didn't plan this, but I happen to be wearing one of my English medals.
Yeah.
And these were often awarded for things just like the Fat Stock Show.
Mm.
So I had a series of them that I found. I make them into jewelry. And I had a series of them that I found years ago for Himalayan show rabbits. So this is the kind of thing that they would be awarded for.
And indeed, they'd get awarded.
Yes.
So they would get this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, because I like that she's there. She's, yes, of course I'm going to be part of this.
Yes.
Even Lord Grantham thinks, this is I forgot the term he uses, is small beer, I think is what he said.
Yeah, I think that was what it was.
Should we even bother? And she goes, yes, of course we should do this. I thought it was hysterical was the way she was dressed at the Fat Stock Show.
She's got her menswear.
Her menswear,
menswear.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Several
She's
people actually
over.
Mentioned via Twitter and YouTube comments that they loved her outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she wears Annie everything Hall. Great. She looks beautiful.
Pleased.
But
I liked it.
But I thought it was I mean, in a way, it's a little silly because it's kind of a stereotype to be putting on a tie.
Yeah, but I mean, she's taking over a man's position, so to speak. So,
you kind of have to play the game.
I thought it was great.
The costume.
Yeah,
it's like,
she didn't want to be frilly. She wants to be taken seriously.
Yeah, but then they're making comments, about how she's dressed. She looks like she belongs there as a pig farmer.
Well, even Baxter was saying, she's not a play or a pretend, farmer. She's the real
deal. She's gonna do
it. Yeah. So that was fun. That was fun and interesting.
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm.
And of course they win.
Yay us. Exactly.
Great pigs, man.
They must. And before that, obviously,
like, who was going to win? I mean, seriously, if you have all the money in the county.
The
Yeah, you have all the money in the county, you have all the resources, you have all the experience. I bet a lot of the other people were kind of like, grumble. Well, of course it was them.
And half the other houses are gone anyway at this point. Who did they really have to compete
with? We heard
against?
The term survivor earlier on in the episode. Yeah. So.
But, you know, yay Downton and the ephemeral pig or whatever.
Okay,
I don't remember.
Now,
don't quote
okay,
me.
Prior to actually going to the, we went to the Drew farm because to see the pigs because George wanted to see them and everything. Mm-hmm. The, and there's all that hush-hush of not talking about why they wouldn't want to go and stuff. Yeah. And Cora goes in either stead to make sure that everything's okay. And you're just waiting for Mrs. Drew to see that. And I was going, okay, how would she react? I mean, did you guys think ahead? It's like, oh, she's just
gonna
going
be
torn
to
be up.
Bad.
Or,
it was going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty sure it was going to be because she seems, well, even now that we've seen this episode, she seems a little unstable.
It's been months.
I mean, it seems to me it's been a couple of years since she's lived there.
Yeah,
hasn't
but, I mean,
it?
Months since the last time we saw.
Right.
Then, yeah.
Last
right. It hasn't been long enough.
Yeah, and she's
there.
Still, you know, it's just a very odd and awkward and it's like, But I also thought that because of what transpired the first time they went and how Mrs. Drew doted, so to speak, led Lord Grantham to have the conversation with Drew, which I just thought was just
I was so
horrible.
Angry. It was so horrible when he had the conversation with Drew. Like,
Are you asking
it got
me
made
to
up
be?
For later for me, yeah. but in right, that moment,
did,
with,
sure.
when I was watching, I was like, what did he do? Do you know what this man has done
yeah,
for your family?
Exactly.
Like, how dare you?
And the fact that he's asking, we didn't ask, you know, nobody asked him to leave or anything like that, but it was the indication was clear. And the fact that they've been there for over a century, since before Waterloo and all that other stuff. And all the other stuff they did.
So harsh.
Yeah, it was just...
It made me... reminded me of old days of Lord Grantham.
It was,
and I was like,
terrible,
oh,
wasn't it?
Awful.
But, you know, it was so interesting because Drew was saying, you know, I can manage this. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Because
he
has been...
Well, to some degree,
slightly
sure.
Slightly Machiavellian, you know, with, you know, making the agreement with Edith and then, you know, assuring everyone that this was going to be fine and kind of taking... I mean, he was taking care of business, and I think he was doing a good job. But the idea of him saying, you know, don't worry, I can manage it. Don't you worry. I'm
I can
sure.
manage her, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
Manage her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was like, you were always great at managing her before.
Something's not going to go well.
Yeah. That was a brutal scene. It's just like, because first of all, and that, like you said, Courtney was great. They did make up for it because the prior scene. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Marigold gets taken at the Fat Stock Show, which I just have a hard time saying. But
County Fair, for lack
show.
Of another word.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And you know, everybody's surprised.
What's going on?
Where
did
she go?
Where could
there's
she be?
Like 30
Hello?
People here. Yeah. So how did she get lost in the crowd?
So and you know, it seemed like. In terms of screen time, is very quick. She's got, you know, but then, I know that happens a lot. You'll turn away and the kid's gone
and
everything
gone,
like that. But
yeah.
then it takes forever to find him in a screen time. But okay. So they find her, of course. They know, Mr. Drew knows exactly where she is.
Edith's cover was great. Oh, we got a message from Yew Tree Farm that she's there hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. It was such a quick cover. I mean, those people were smart just covering
the
for everyone.
About
looking,
the but the fact that they have to and the fact that, you know, even Mary senses something's up because she's asking about her.
She does, but then she gets selfish, right?
Yeah, because
she's
like, well, how are we
going to
get
the car?
How
am I going to get? No, you're going to walk, okay? Like, it's up the road. Walk to the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so, but we find Marigold, of course, at the Drew. And then there's, this was, I thought was just so, I don't know, what's the word? For me, the scene was a little overplayed with the music because it was just, it's like,
I felt
boom,
the same way.
Like, almost stinger chords playing.
I was half expecting Mrs. Drew to pull a knife out of the other side. I mean, I know that that's not Downton, but the way they played the music and the push-in.
Yeah, and I was like, what?
You know, and she's sitting there,
and the baby
you know,
was still,
singing.
I was worried she had already killed the kid.
Yeah,
and she's like holding the dead
almost
body.
Almost unconscious.
Like, I didn't know what was
going
on.
I'm
going
to have to say, I don't think that that was right for Downton.
I don't know if it was intentional, but that's how it came across to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a little... silly.
Yeah, overplayed. Just overplayed. Because I think if
a
you just
fatal
if you pulled the music, if you had taken the music out or
Hand
taken
the rocks
it
the
down,
cradle.
Yeah,
I thought it would have been fine. It would have been just as weird, just as eerie, just as uncomfortable because
she's
the way she was responding.
The baby and
but the music was like, I think you're overselling
somebody
that a little
gonna
bit.
Die?
So.
Like,
I totally agree with you. I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To backtrack a little bit, the moment in the I don't know where they are, the library, the salon, where the decision is being made. Let's go to the
yeah, to the Drews to see the pigs.
What is it called again? The fat pig, the fat stock, the fat stock
show,
the fat stock show, and Mary's and the George. George is his name, right?
Yeah.
He says, he said, I want to go.
And he wants to see the pigs. So that's when they go to the Drews before the fat.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. That's the scene I'm talking about. There was, you know, everybody in the room knew what was going on except for Mary. There was, and there was all the side eye going on. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know what you think. What do you think? I don't know what you think. Who's going to cover for me? How am I going to get through this? And it was just like, Mary's not that stupid. She's got to know.
Well, yeah, she knows something.
But she is self-absorbed.
She's but I also think
that's what it's resting on.
I think she's self-absorbed. I also think, you know, this goes to the subject. She doesn't care enough. She figures, well, it becomes important and hits my radar. Then I'll pay attention.
Yes.
Until then, I don't care.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's part of her.
Yeah.
Exactly. But agreed. Okay, so they once they find her and Mr. Drew brings Marigold out and gives her back, and that was just
heartbreaking.
It was horrible. And you know, I've always felt that the actor and the way they've written Mr. Drew has brought so much dignity to that role.
Yes.
And that's I kept going to when he was saying we had a plan, we didn't account for the emotion. All that.
Right.
I just felt he was so the fact that. He still held that secret. He still maintained. He still. I just thought the dignity of it was amazing.
There was an awful lot of, you know,
played real well.
Class in, pardon the pun, but in, you know, protecting people's secrets then and, you know, like you say, preserving dignity and you know, maintaining decorum.
Yeah.
Was really paramount in those times, and I love how they portray that in this show. You know, there's, you know, because so much of the time, me, I would crumble. I can't lie. I'm a terrible liar. And so, you know, it's like, you're right. You got me. You know, that would be me. But you know, these people are.
Courtney, on the other hand, she's good at all.
I'm just speaking for her. You though.
But
you know, the opportunities that people have to pick up on, you know, the thread that's going, like Edith, who said, you know, I know what's going on. I think that it just, maybe it's because they didn't have television and the internet back then. You know, their brains
pick up
are
on
a little.
The unspoken cues.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe they're a little more have a little more clarity and ability to process.
To home in on that.
Yeah. But I mean, I just thought, Mr. Drew is, you know, a very noble character.
He's been nothing but
and
more noble than Lord Grantham.
Especially,
you know, the first sequence when he didn't ask him to leave.
But
the way that Lord Grantham handled the second sequence when he was saying, look, we owe you far more. This is kindness at all. It's not generosity. I mean, that was like, fine. That's some redemption there.
It was horrible.
And I just felt for over a century they've been there. And then as soon as he realizes, okay, I can't manage my wife and she's
far gone.
Yeah, that it would be better for her, too, that if we end up, and he just says,
I'll start looking for another tenancy in the morning.
And I'm just going, oh my God, what they have to. Really? They've got to do that because you can't.
Do they not have Xanax?
Yeah.
They
had herbs.
Give her some
chamomile.
Exactly.
Some tea.
Something.
Edith, go to London, darn it.
But everybody in the car agrees, it's for the best. What? No, it's not for, not kicking him out. It's not for the best.
No, and I didn't like how Edith kind of just went in and grabbed the baby and was like, oh, and walked out. She didn't even acknowledge that this woman is broken.
Yeah.
She took care of your kid and had no idea and still has no idea what's really going on, and you don't acknowledge it.
You know, it's kind of interesting because they both of these women sort of have the claim on this child.
Yeah.
You know, Edith gave birth to her, but Lady Drew, Mrs. Drew, Mrs. Drew, you know, raised her from kind of the moment she was born, and so they both feel they have equal claim to the child. But you know,
but she doesn't include because she knew all along that it was not her child and everything. She couldn't keep her strings in her apron, so to speak. If you know what I mean,
she's got a whole bunch of other kids.
I know exactly. What about the horde that
you?
It is the only girl.
Isn't it?
I think
so. It's like a special attachment. Mm-hmm.
whatever, turn the page. It's not your kid. Leave it all on.
That's true.
Nothing to see here, lady. Let's get a move on.
But it was that it was just compelling and just
it was a great scene.
Yeah, all of that. But thankfully they had that scene because I was so pissed off.
Yeah, I was
sequence
done with Lord Grantham. Yeah.
Right, and the shot at the end. Okay, a couple of great shots in this episode. Actually, we commented on them as we were watching, but. You called it the American Gothic shot, you know, at the end where you've got Drew and his wife in the framed within the window, looking very forlorn out the window. We're here on the side, and that was a great shot. I thought it was really beautiful, and I also love the moment where Lord Grantham went into the car, and you know we're quite removed, but he opens the car door and says they've agreed, and so you know just the distance and the way that was directed and shot, I thought was really well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, but let's finish the other part of our Edith storyline for this particular episode. Because she's continuing her arguments with Mr. Skinner, editor.
He's like yelling and screaming in the phone.
And I'm going, when is she just going to fire him? Yes. What is that? I mean, she owns the thing, so what's the deal? Why are we continuing this? And why is it the same argument? Why do we keep having this argument? I mean, why can't we move the story along?
Because she's got to move to London first.
Well, okay.
To assert her womanhood.
All right, but I'm going, okay, great. But just move it along for me, will you? Because that was my big
criticism
of this episode is okay, we're back to him repeating scenes.
Yeah.
Right, which was our big criticism with all last series.
I mean, my argument about that is, look, you've got this is your final series, final season, right?
Yes.
You can pull out all the stops, you got more story than you'll ever need, and why are you repeating scenes? And that drives me nuts.
Oh my gosh.
Could have fought me. There was that. There was the same argument with the hospital. As much as I like to see
the hospital board, the meetings. Yeah,
I love those characters. I love their acting. I love the dialogue. But further the story, because it was the exact same stuff we heard last week, and the same with Daisy's argument. With it's like she's still feeling bad about Mr. May. I get all those, but it's. I just wish they had moved the story along
a little bit more.
Exactly.
YouTube commenter Sylvana Dell, thank you for your comment. Was mentioning that we talked about must you always sound like a trumpeter on the peak of the moral high ground? Cold on the moral high ground? And apparently, series 4 Christmas special, she also said, must you always sound like a trumpeter on the peak of the moral high ground?
Yeah.
So and we talked about it last series, and we're saying again, we're really feeling like there's some recycling going on, and I don't love it.
No, I don't. But
it makes me a little bit crazy
because I love the Edith with Rosamund. We haven't seen them in a while, and you can see them taking
such a great ally
with her.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think that there you go. You had some opportunity to do some character development stuff. Just but some of that was rehashing. Tell me what's happening, and then Edith tells all the sex bars about what we've already seen, but she's catching her up. But there's better ways to do that. But it is nice to see them, especially when they were in the room after they had their
dinner
and fireside.
Yeah. Delicious dinner.
Yeah, their delicious dinner and all that kind of stuff. And then Rosamund starts talking about being alone. Be careful at being good at it. And I'm going, that was nice stuff.
Right?
And I'm going, I want some more of that stuff. What's going
what
on
does
there?
That mean?
Yeah, exactly. Rosamund. What's that setting up? Is he setting up that this is where she's headed?
Alone.
Is she going to end up like Rosamund, or is that just Rosamund saying, okay, this is where I.
Interesting counterpoint. There was conversation earlier with Mrs. Hughes talking about loving to take a walk alone, and Andy, the servant, liking to take the walks alone, and it revives a person and gives you perspective or whatever it was she said. So just a little bit of a theme going through the episode.
But the line that Rosamund said, "Be careful of being too good at it," meaning
being
alone,
yeah,
because it can be very hard to give up.
Yeah.
Which could be a little foreshadowing. Who knows?
Right. And, interesting that the thing that the facilitator to began that conversation was Edith saying, I've never lived alone.
Right, yeah.
So, just an adult woman. And I know that was very normal for the time and, that would be the case. But we have some predictions we'll talk about later talk about
but
that.
But I thought that was great, though, because we did get to see her in London. I'm hopeful that the reason why we're having these arguments with Skinner that just go on is that at some point she's going
to
put her foot down and assert herself and say, all right, enough. And maybe that's why Matthew Good's coming, or we saw Who else is it? That's this new man in her life from
new
the coming
man
up,
that
right?
Pops up.
Yeah, who knows what that is? Is that and
is she gonna take over?
Fall for a new editor? I mean, is that what's in her future? We don't know. But
I can't wait to talk about the predictions.
All right, so but
we have our predictions.
But I like that part of it because it led to something new and something, a greater horizon for her, which is great. Now on the flip side of that, not the flip side, but on the other side, meaning. Not leading to anything new was the hospital storyline.
Yeah.
And there's the thing that bothered me. I love these characters and I want to see more of them. I just wish they had furthered the story on it because pretty much the same thing happened this week as last week in terms of the storyline. The battle lines were drawn. In fact, last week they said, I'm glad we're on the same side. This week, Lord Merton says, I'm glad we're allies. Last week, she says, don't make it too big a thing out of it. This week, Isabel just walks away.
Cold shoulder them.
Uh-huh. Like, how is that different? How did that further? I don't know. And I'm just going, why are you not taking this opportunity?
Proof
you
only that it's a long process to determine the change of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying
I know change
to
takes time, but
not on TV it doesn't.
I mean, yeah, we got all, I mean, you got 9 episodes this
that
season.
That way, by the end, Violet has just passed away because it took them 50 years to figure it out. And then
I'm going to go back again to our YouTube comments because I love reading your guys' comments. Ms. Lost Nikita talked about how she wished that there was a spinoff of the older characters because they're so
Isabel
rich and
Violet.
So interesting. Yeah. And she says the board meeting was great. The others are just so boring and sad.
Well, I would agree with that because I think the dialogue from those board meetings was there's great back and forth. There's whose facts? What difference does it make? Well, my facts are the true one. And all those kinds of things are great, which is why I wish... Yeah, I love seeing them. I'm just thinking you could move the story along in the same process.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. And you know, maybe Julian Fellows is just thinking, Uncle Julian, as we call him in our little group.
We
call
I did
him
not know
Uncle
that.
Julian. Uncle Julian, you know, he just figures people love this. It's, you know, this is rich, ripe, you know, juicy conversation that we're having, and I just need to give them a little more of it. But I mean, I agree with you that there needs to be more content and more substance with all of this.
Yeah, because you can still have all those wonderful, all that dialogue, just for me.
Like, bring the company in, get the started on the hospital, and see how they're dealing with the new hospital.
Exactly,
because like,
you know,
so much that can be
and
done.
And even in the Anna Bates storyline, because how many times? and this is kind of indicative of that because we had Anna Bates again having we see her crying. Which look, I get it. I mean, I know it's difficult for her, and I know that she's going to be teary eyed, and that things are going to. But even those storylines are that part of it anyway.
Tired.
Between Anna Bates, we're tired of that, and coming off a whole series
last year of
it's like And the nice thing is, thankfully, she confided in Mary.
Yeah.
And then we got to further that because Mary finally knows what's up. And, she, you know, of course, it was great for Mary to say, not being so self-absorbed, look, you have all
you have
earned.
Had the worst life ever.
Exactly.
You deserve something.
And you have earned your right to have me hire a doctor for you. Even referencing Pamuk and the whole thing.
Right. And which was great. I mean, that was one of those things that made me love this relationship between the two of them. Which other people have commented how it could not possibly be historically accurate that they would be so close. But I don't care. I'm ready to suspend my disbelief.
Yeah, I
am
too.
They could be close.
Yeah.
Think about those relationships where you're literally undressing people and like you're in the most private of their. Would they?
But the return, I think the comment is, or the assertion is,
historically
by,
speaking, is
thank
that
you, is that the return is not given. Like, Mary would confide in Anna, but Anna would not be able to confide in Mary.
And Mary probably would never extend.
Exactly.
Extend anything.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But it does make interesting
TV.
But
if people die and like people are getting killed and raped and all that, maybe.
Exactly.
maybe something else.
One would hope there would be a little humanity
in the
turn.
I know. They should have to show a soul at some point. Yeah. Anyway,
you know, the line Anna saying, almost funny, really, given the service I once did for you, about how she couldn't
and
get
the look. The look.
Yeah.
We had a couple of really good of those off, you know, the off, well, from the camera, I should say.
Reaction.
Reaction shots from Mary. We had one from Baxter when. Thomas is ending, and we had a bunch of those. And we're like, yeah, nice. They were taking those moments to do that.
Have a moment.
Yeah. So, okay, so she takes, Mary takes Anna to the doctor, and we get to finally learn or see the doctor that helped Mary in the past. And he says, it's simple procedure,
simple.
Right?
You have a soft cervix.
So because he said it was simple. How do we think that's going to go?
Okay, instantly my thought was, oh my
my God, she's going to die. My thought was, yay, she doesn't have cancer. Oh, damn, she's going to die. Because he's like, we'll do it at home.
Yeah.
Like, so you can lay in the bed. Yeah. You're going to sew up my cervix in the house?
Can, yeah, you can bleed out in the house.
No.
Okay, so you have another take on that,
sounds
right?
Well, the other yes, I'll talk about that in a second. Okay. But I also, as he was saying that, in my head, I was going, you ain't have no baby. I kept going to court, and he said, you're not going to have no baby.
Not going to work.
Yeah, so that's just not going to happen.
Oh, man. See, then they're going to get our hopes up. See, that's even more tragic, because they're going to get our hopes up that the baby could be a possibility. Then she's going to get pregnant. He's going to try to sew it up, and the baby's going to fall out, and she's going to die.
Oh, my God.
But
okay, so what the other thing I was thinking was, but they already had, like, the, I would say, for me, the most heart-wrenching, like buckets of tears down my face. I can't even, like, when we, if you guys go back and read, you know, see the AfterBuzz that we did, I couldn't even say the words like Sybil died for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, and if I go back and see that episode now, it still kills me.
It's horrible because you're like, I'm like, there's no way they're going to let her die.
They couldn't do it again. That's sort of,
Well, so that's what I was saying about this. I don't think they'll repeat that. But then again, you don't. I don't
know.
Well,
he's repeating everything else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that was, it just seems to me that was so dramatic and it's indelible that I don't think he would. I don't think he could get away with it. I don't think he would allow himself to. But the other thing I think, I'm hoping, that because of last year and how
transgressions
he,
with
exactly,
Green.
How he dragged that thing out. I'm hoping he would want to redeem that by sure, it's going to be a difficult pregnancy. And sure, it may look like she may lose the child. But I think in the end,
it
actually will end up. It'll be a difficult road all along, and we'll be just, oh my God, and oh my God, oh my God.
I hope so.
Because in some way, that'll make up for the whole Green
fiasco. But then when she was sort of, I was like, is this foreshadowing? Because she tells Mary that she doesn't want to share it with Bates.
Right.
And so there's, you know, for certain,
hope,
because he'll get his hopes up. And I'm like, oh, see, nobody wants to get their hopes up and be excited about it because it's not going to happen.
I'm going to say right now, I'm never forgiving Uncle Julian for having handled Green. I'm not. I don't. All right. I won't. I'm sorry.
There's no coming back from
there's
that.
No coming back. For coming that? Back.
All right,
I mean, I might be happy for Anna, but I will never forgive him for how he handled that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not.
Period.
We can't go on with that. All right.
Dropping the mic.
Well, I mentioned Daisy earlier, but let's go into that a little deeper. Because she decides, of course, that it's all her fault that Mason has Mr. Mason has to move, and you know she's got to do something, and you know, and she's looking at every opportunity. And early in the storyline, mostly, I'm not exactly sure why, but he decides to go to the very stern-looking school teacher, headmaster, whomever it is. And brings back exams for her to help her with her studies, and she thinks it's great, and then immediately puts him this aside because she's so distraught over Mr. Mason, and she can't even think about it until he's settled. So and then they get Baxter involved because Baxter has to make the entree over to Cora, and all this is and all these things to me are just going on and on and on for, and then the sliver we get at the end is Cora has an idea,
right.
But up until then, it was just like, oh my God, it's the same scene over
and
over.
I can't help. I don't know. I don't know.
But it was so it was frustrating for me. But did you guys have any issues with it? Were you guys, yeah, it's good. I'm good.
No, I mean, for the most part, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was a little bit of recycling. The one thing that got reinforced for me that, you know, maybe we didn't really get clear on or didn't really hit on was Mosley saying, Daisy, for goodness sake, we're servants.
Yeah, but that I thought that was, wow. Because that just, I don't know why. Again, I get it. I understand the relationship. But just every once in a while, that thing hits you in the head like a sledgehammer. Oh, that's right.
Ouch.
They're nothing. They're barely chattel.
Yeah.
So,
a little bit above slaves.
Yeah. And even Mrs. Hughes says, you know, I don't want to be a servant.
Yeah.
On
yeah
and there's that
the
that through line was running.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing.
Oh, my God. All right. So hopefully we'll see what Cora's idea is, but, you know, somehow it's going to get
Very
Mr.
Bored.
Mason a new place, and he's just going to have to basically start over or
bored.
Something. It's like, damn, at his age.
Maybe she knew that Drew was going to leave
the farm.
That's the machination.
Take it over.
You are now a pig farmer.
Yeah, so. And how old is Mr. Mason?
70?
Yeah, I don't know.
He
but,
needs to, like, go into retirement.
I guess
starting anew.
Well, there you go. I guess that's what's going to happen.
It would have been more interesting, sort of, like, if she got the exams and was like, ooh, I can take an exam and I can go be a secretary. And I thought, will like have him live with me or something. Like, I don't know.
But that, and like, maybe it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is that.
But, and Mosley even suggested that. Yeah, you can help him better if you haven't. And, but, you know, of course, she's, but she's so foolhardy.
Well, she stuck.
Yeah, because she did something. She put her foot
in
her mouth.
She did. She threw her foot.
But I like her Norma Rae, you know. It's the system.
She's a part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But you're not doing anything to break this.
Attica, I'm saying, everybody.
You just want to perpetuate this
in England, Great Britain is going, what? Attica, what is he talking about?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Move it along.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Thomas, because I thought this was interesting, too, because we're furthering that storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Really concerned he's going to be the first one canned and sacked.
Carson just doesn't even care.
Yeah, nobody did. Nobody. He's trying to make himself, you know, just Carson indispensable.
Like, yeah, get on. Go out, go and take that interview.
Absolutely. And then he keeps trying with Andy. No, okay. Let's do the whole interview thing first. Then we'll get the
Yeah.
So he's obviously reading the paper. He's talking to Baxter about it. Yeah, I'm going to this thing. He gets time off to go to this interview, and he has this interview where he learns that, well, like, wait a minute here.
I got to do tricks.
Valet / footman / chauffeur. Whoa, what's going on?
Excuse me?
And then we get the whole discrimination thing about him being a delicate fella. And
yeah, he's like, you're delicate. Are you married? What difference does it make?
How could he tell? I mean
exactly. Like, and what? I don't look at
I didn't see the
delicate.
Cue. Like, how did he know? I was like, what? He just looked British.
Word is around town that he's a fellow at this point. Right. It has been a few years.
You think?
It has to be. What else? I mean, they're like so buttoned up and like hide everything. Yeah. I feel like they. It's just word around because people talk regardless. Mm-hmm. So it's word around town.
You think they? Okay, all right. That was like,
I'm trusting you on that.
Because why would he act like in the whole marriage thing? Yeah. Like, oh, you're not married? Well, that's perfectly normal. And the guy's like, well, not anymore.
So much,
yeah,
I'm married.
Well, yeah, that was just. I was like, I didn't. You know, it was like I was in court. I didn't see the foundation for all of that. What's going on?
Where did you get this information?
Yeah, and there wasn't the hint that
they probably do secret
gossiping and the rumor mongering.
Secret background.
That's how they do their background checks. Like, get the gossip in the back kitchen. Sure. Like, what do you know about this guy?
Yeah, he's
coming to
talk.
He's not married.
Yeah, he's not married.
Nudge.
And there was a blonde guy that used to work at the big house.
Yeah, he left. Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
Yeah.
Well, and it could also just be, you know, us being reminded of, you know, his past history in anticipation of what's happening next.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going, the whole thing with Andy, I'm just going, I didn't get that was a romantic thing. It didn't really seem to me. I mean, I couldn't understand his reasoning for that. I'm sure everybody has their own opinion about it. I'm sure people can slay
me.
Well, why was Thomas making all these overtures? I didn't get it.
Right. To me,
it didn't seem like a romantic thing, but maybe it is.
Right.
I didn't
Thomas
see it
seemed
that way.
A little aggressive, and Andy seemed a little rude. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can tone down both of those words because it was sort of maybe assertive and maybe standoffish.
Well, I didn't see Andy being rude only because he had said on a couple of occasions, no, I'm fine. And Thomas was not getting the hint at all. So then
I think
the
volume of them made it feel like he was being kind of standoffish and sort of, you know, making a point more so than just answering questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Mm. But I, you know. So did you guys sense it was a romantic thing? Or?
I did not. Did you?
I didn't at all.
So,
no.
And I'm going, is he just trying to make himself indispensable by helping the new people? I mean, what? I don't, because, you know, it's kind of like giving Marigold the horseback ride.
Yeah.
Is he trying to just establish, look, see, I need it here because I'm training the
newer
people.
It's just his outcast, mentality all the time. Like, he's consistently been the outcast.
Yeah, but to counterpoint that, Baxter is here trying to, she even says, you won't let
be fond of you.
You know, so she's trying to build bridges, and he's, you know, he's very ready to burn them.
Because he doesn't know how to accept a bridge. He's always been over there.
Yeah.
And anytime he was trying to be in there, he always, even if it was self-inflicted, he just isn't in there. And that's why he's so worried. Nobody else is tripping about the job.
Everybody else
Everybody's maybe. And he's like, I'm going to be the first one gone. Why would you be the first one gone? Like, calm down, brother. You've been here for 15 years. Yeah. It's okay. But
nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him. Yeah. So, but the people that don't like him don't really make the decisions. And the people that he's worried about let him stay.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
no clearly, kidding.
They had many opportunities to let him
yeah.
go. So it's just for me, it's just unclear about what the hell's going on.
I just
there.
Feel like they're consistently reminding us that he is feeling isolated,
outcast,
and an outcast, and mm-hmm. eventually everybody's going to be going their separate ways, mm-hmm. and he'll be.
And even when alone. He makes an attempt to try to do something for himself, it's going to get
ridiculous.
Shut down.
Yeah.
So that's what clearly what was demonstrated in his interview.
Yeah.
Who wants to work for that guy?
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Who wants to work for that
You're
guy anyway?
Better off
yeah. sourpuss.
I mean, Carson's a little stern, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Quick side note right. from Dutch24 guy on Twitter. Ironing the paper is so that you don't get ink on your fingers, not get the wrinkles out. The more you know.
Really? There yes. you go. Thank
yeah.
you so
it's
much.
Sets
Thank
the
you.
Ink.
Sets the ink. Way to
Thank
go.
Thank you for the life skills.
Is that something we should be doing like now?
Probably.
It just changed ink?
No, yeah. Like it's, new it's ink? Different ink.
Different
no,
ink.
Yeah. All right. We got to get to our final storyline and then we'll get
Which
to
Which is well, oh, Hughes Carson. And Carson.
I so, love it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a servant in my way.
Thank you very much. And is that this. So wrong?
Is that wrong? She got really like irate.
Indignant.
I wrote Bridezilla by the second scene they did together.
Ooh, okay.
The wedding day is mine. The rest of our lives is going to be about you.
See,
I love that.
Loved that line.
I loved it.
I'm the bride, for God's sake.
Yes.
The wedding day is mine.
It is mine.
And do we have to listen to the Blessed Lady Mary?
Mary.
Can you say it in her accent?
The Blessed Lady Mary. No, I don't
no.
think I can.
Okay.
It
was so good. Yeah. Like how she did that line was fantastic.
And it's funny because Carson is so attached to Mary and like, oh, it's going to be great in the house. And I love that Mrs. Hughes is the exact opposite. Like, this is my job. I don't want any part of this. I'm nobody's slave on my wedding day.
Right. Here's the thing.
I'll get married in a schoolhouse. Like, not a church. Yeah, not a garden.
No, no,
I could school, see
yeah.
both sides of this argument. And
well, yeah, that's what's
really
good. That's why it's a good
for
argument.
Me
yeah.
Because, you know. Because
who knew how to have their wedding at the
Great
Hall?
It's quite beautiful.
It's gonna look gorgeous.
And, but. Absolutely. You don't want to feel like a servant.
Well, that's not who Mrs. Hughes is either. She's not, she doesn't care about the Great Hall. It doesn't have that meaning for her.
She works there.
Yeah. Right. But then the Great Hall has more meaning to me than the school down the road.
Well,
you know, the rec hall and
no,
the school.
No, it's a great argument. That's why I think it's a terrific storyline to continue. I just, because I can see both sides as well. But I also think in the end.
The bride wins.
Well, sure she does.
She
but,
has
and,
to.
And she better because.
Otherwise,
if he
he'll
wants
pay
those,
for
if he, exactly.
He wanted a full marriage.
Yeah, you want to know how you get a full marriage? You let a bride have her wedding day. Bam.
Well, there you go. I don't know what other argument there is. I'm not exactly sure where we can go with that.
There will be
I had
no
all kinds
day.
Of other things to discuss, but I think you've trumped everything.
Yeah, pretty much that. I'm in the process of helping a bride with a wedding right
exactly,
now, and it's
yeah.
all about, like, what do you want? What do you want?
Yep.
I don't care what he wants. What do you want?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the,
because
the
that,
one,
that is the, you know, I mean, that
yeah,
is the argument. There's
day.
The one day you get to wear the white dress and the veil.
And do
I remember when it happened for me, and I, like the river, the sea parted the couple of very handful of times that I had the opportunity to ask for something, and I didn't realize the power until the day was over. Damn it. But
true.
God bless Mrs. Hughes.
That's
she's
true.
Got
she's
it.
Asserting
figured out.
Her
she
right
understands.
To be a yeah. bride.
That's right. But
boom.
They left it. They left it with Carson saying, "No, you know this. That Downton means something to me."
Right.
So
but
this
do you
is
think
setting it up.
Fair.
It is true. It's fair. But what it's setting up is a showdown between Mrs. Hughes and Mary, because Mary is the one that said,
oh,
"Leave
I'll
Mrs. Hughes
it.
To me.
I'll fix it.
And
oh
you'll have
God.
Your reception at the Great Hall
Which
if it's
is,
the last thing I do." And I'm going.
But it's 1925, Mary. Mrs. Hughes has a voice.
And then in the coming up speech, it's like, Mrs. Hughes, I can't believe you're acting like this, so who knows? But
and I like that Cora like actually was like, well,
yes!
Mrs. Hughes might
oh, I'm
not
so glad you mentioned
that.
Yeah, she was
yeah.
great.
Like, she's
yeah.
good. And
yeah.
I like that somebody at least recognizes this mm-hmm. woman's right to
and
have
you,
a
Cora
and I'm thinking that's
of
because
reason.
Of Cora's experience.
Of course.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
insane.
That's right. I mean, she even at it was her wedding, she probably had to bow to everything.
Everything.
Of course.
And she was an American.
Yeah, absolutely. So she knows that we're from whence Mrs. Hughes is speaking.
Yes,
okay.
indeed.
Mm-hmm. So this
will
be good. So that showdown will be fun between
you know,
Mary
I think it's kind of interesting how Anna and Bates have so much been kind of the core and the... you know, soft, juicy spot in our marshmallow, you know, heart. And Carson, it's kind of transferred for some of us to Carson and Hughes because of the clumsy dealings with the green incident, as well as, you know, just Hughes and Carson, you know, it's just, it's constantly being put off just a little bit. You know, it's all about the anticipation,
But but speaking to our earlier point, each time we've had those, they've moved, they've added another wrinkle. Moved the story, they've added, and that, like last week it was, oh, I didn't really think what that meant.
A full marriage.
Now this week it's, now it's like, oh, who's going to have the power and
who's
going to
get their way.
So each time they're doing that, they're moving, which is what I'm saying is you should do that with all the stories.
All the stories.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But the other thing that I wanted to mention was speaking about power struggles and about favors. You know, Grantham was coming to Mr. Drew and saying, Lord knows you've given us so much. Yeah. And that was the same conversation that Mary was having with Anna. Right. You know, goodness knows you've earned the...
me hiring a doctor for you.
Exactly, and me doing these things for you. So it's interesting how, you know, in a bigger sense, the power is shifting once again between, you know, downstairs and upstairs and who owes whom what and where the loyalties lie.
And I think that may be the historical problems people are having because there probably weren't that big power shift as you're suggesting. But it does make interesting TV. And the other thing is I liked this storyline where it started out with Lord Grantham says you can have the servants all.
And Mary's gosh, right.
Yeah, that's just disgusting.
Mary is just
seriously, does that mean we're just going to clean the toilets?
That is exactly what is the subtext.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad. Yeah. It was so disgusting.
It's just awful.
It was exactly, I just love that. And then she just offers a great haul. Doesn't even check in with Dad first. She just,
well, the other thing,
because she said we'll discuss it later, but
that,
doesn't even bother.
New generation. That was great. It was like, this is too big a conversation to have right now. I'm not even.
Later.
And then
later. And then later wasn't a conversation.
No, it was an ultimatum.
Grantham says to Carson, look, don't even pretend that we can have an argument with her.
Disagree,
which is why I think that when, because Mrs.
Hughes
is very strong in her own right.
She's adamant.
So that's why I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
I like it.
Yeah,
I that's something to look forward
good,
to. For
it's
sure.
setting up some nice stuff.
For sure.
So very exciting. All right. Well, unless there's anything else, I want to get to our comments. And
yeah, we have some news. We have some comments. We have all kinds of good stuff. So let's do it.
Let's
do
this.
AfterBuzz TV News.
There's a new game out, a new video game called Downton Abbey, Mysteries of the Manor.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Okay.
We talked about the
Downtonisms
that I had on my phone last week. Mysteries of the Manor hit select Apple, Android, and Fire devices today. In Mysteries of the Manor, you'll step into the role of a newly hired staff member.
Oh, nice.
Brought in to investigate
a
mysterious burglary.
Whoa, okay.
Ooh.
You go to each room and you try and figure out what's at the bottom of the whodunit.
Okay.
I think it's free too. I'm not sure, but I think it's a free
free
game.
Clue.
So that's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, Clue. Okay, so spotting historical inaccuracies is becoming a sport for some of the Downton fans, and last week's episode really set some folks off.
Okay.
Here are a few of the inaccuracies.
Oh boy.
The Dowager Countess used the phrase "que sera sera." Once made popular by Doris Day, but not until the 1950s.
I know, but that term is...
Also, Anna said that she thought she was pregnant, and also Mary, reading Rose's note, said she might be pregnant.
With child.
Exactly. So, Dr. Emily Brahan, lecturer...
and you have to say it like that, right?
Bahan. I'm going to say Bahan. B-A-U-G-H-A-N. Lecturer in modern history at the University of Bristol said that while the term pregnant existed medically in the 1920s, people at the time would have been less direct when discussing it. They would have used the euphemisms like in the family way, looking forward to a child, expecting, that kind of thing. Dr. Bahan also said the Dowager Countess saying que sera sera was pretty ridiculous, given that the film was The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Yeah.
Right. And then she also said, however, there are far bigger inaccuracies than the language. For example, everyone has such good teeth, including the servants.
I did think of that.
Okay, but countering her stance on the Dowager statement of that things will be is Dr. Devyani Sharma, reader in social linguistics at Queen Mary University. He said, while que sera sera was popularized in the 1950s, this is what you're going to say,
yes,
it entered the English language in the 15th century and was used in plays used in plays by Christopher Marlowe in the 16th century.
Okay.
Jeez.
So Downton actually employs a royal commentator, Alistair Bruce, and you've seen him if you've seen any of the like behind the scenes things. I've interview him. His advice is always not always heeded, however, and
for historical accuracy, right?
Exactly. Okay. So in an episode set in 1912, a 1921 Model T Ford was used. And also in another, there was a piano rendition of a song that was written 6 years after the episode was set.
Right.
So another just little bit of information. The Queen, who is a big fan of Downton Abbey, loves to point out the blunders that producers put. So Brian
She does it as a drinking game, right?
Exactly, right? With her little tiny glass of sherry. She drinks a gin drink of some sort. The author, it's not gin and tonic, though. It's something else. Okay. The author of At Home with the Queen said that she loves watching Downton Abbey and pointing out the things that they've got wrong, partly because she's familiar with Highclere Castle, where Downton is shot, and she used to stay there as a guest of the Carnarvon family, and so she loves going,
wait a minute.
That doesn't work.
Flag on the play.
Exactly. Okay, so we mentioned a couple of our YouTube comments while we were speaking, but a couple of the other ones that I want to say. Ricky Ra said that they don't like any predictions that we had about Edith.
Sorry,
and
guys.
I think she's specifically talking about he or she is talking about us because they say it's time that Edith gets some happiness.
We all agree with that. Don't think it's likely.
I know. I mean, I just played devil's advocate last week by saying that she is going to be, she's going to have the kid, she's going to have the guy, she's going to have the whole thing.
So there's a prediction from Poetic Justice 1000 that welcomes us back and says that Matthew Good is going to turn up soon.
Good. I like that.
Yeah. Right. So there was a little bit of talk in the press about that. If you'll remember, he went on The Hunt.
Right.
And, you know, was talking to Mary. Show. And he's the guy with a fast car.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And they made a big deal of it, the Christmas show.
And it's like, where is he?
Exactly.
I thought he was coming in the first episode.
You watch The Good Wife, don't you?
Yes.
Isn't he on The Good Wife?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So the conversation out in the press, because everybody's trying to figure it out, is it just might have been scheduling conflict that the reason that we're not talking about him, but that he's coming back. We talked about the recycling. Elizabeth, I can never remember how to say your name. Freesh. Not a fan of Anna's hair. but she says, I do think she'll have a baby girl that they can name after another plant. Maybe Bryony, Heather, or Petunia. That made me laugh
Elizabeth,
out loud.
That's hysterical. That's way to go.
Loved it. And then downstairs, Abby. Okay, we need to talk about this one, all right, you guys? My prediction from Downstairs Abbey is Lady Edith will write editorials in her paper condemning the growing Nazi threat. She's never gotten over the loss of the Gregson to the Brown Shirts.
Nice.
Edith's columns will grab the attention of Winston Churchill. And in the last episode, Edith will invite him as a guest to dinner at Downton, and Churchill will spend the evening trying to convince Lord and Lady Grantham how important their daughter is to shaping public opinion in the 20th century. Bam!
Nicely done.
Wow. Right?
Nicely done.
Okay.
I love it.
That will be a happy ending for Edith.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with Marigold or that man need.
Yeah. Exactly. Also, thank you to Ian Armstrong and Gemma Thomas and Catherine Smith and Miller to Abel.
Thank you very much
for all your guys' comments. Right. They make me laugh
They're
out
great.
Loud.
I love them so
much.
So do we have any predictions? Do you guys have come up with something? Okay. Right. I'm just, you know, just kind of going off of last week. So, you know, I had said that Edith was going to get Marigold's going to be fine. She's not going to lose Marigold. She's going to have the job. She's going to become her own editor to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll step into that.
Oh, yes.
And then she'll find, she'll have the guy.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking is that Mary, who is used to, first of all, being the eldest, having the reputation, having all that, and kind of resting on those laurels to some degree, It would be great to see. I'm not really making this as a prediction, but it would be great to see that get stripped away, meaning something in her past or something she does this series season is going to cause her to lose that reputation. So she's going to have to stand on her own for real, because she's capable enough to do that. But she really does get away with so much because of the title and because of her position. It would be nice to see her own herself as a woman, as a person, without that, and see what she can do, which would be a good trade-off, because that's going to bring her into her own as a human, and have Edith have all that, and then you get a chance to see them be in different positions as opposed to where they started from, because Mary will be in...
Has always had
the elevated position, and she won't, so she'll have to understand what it's like to be in life without that. To make your way without that, which I think it would be great for her as a character, because we get to really see her own who she is rather than what her title and position is or are. And then we can see Edith experience what it's like to be in the one-up position and to see if she do that with aplomb and dignity and have some generosity and some kindness towards her sister because she's fallen so far, so to speak, or does she lord it over her that now
I'm in the superior position?
Yeah, so I think those things would be great. I don't know that we'll ever get there in this particular. I don't think it'll happen in this series, in the final season and everything. But it would be interesting to have that be the thing that they would work towards in terms of writing and stuff like that. That'd be great arcs.
Where were you when Julian Fellowes was writing this series? Yeah. Because he could have used your help.
Been a creative consultant.
That would be. I just think it would be fun to see.
Well, let's hope that something that interesting is coming our way, because I think that's really, really clever, and I love the idea of Mary having to. Fend for herself and really create her future as opposed to just sit there and wait for it to come to her,
without having to rely on what's already given her.
If we remember from the leaks, and we talked about it last week, is that Tom is possibly coming back this next episode.
He'll probably just come back in the final.
He's on set. We know he's going to be in this series somehow. But there's been speculation that it's next episode.
Episode
3.
I honestly thought it was he'll just make an appearance at the end, because everybody will make an appearance.
I thought it'd be the last, maybe two.
Yeah.
So the other thing that people said was there was this idea that this series was going to cover a number of years.
Right.
And I don't see that happening, especially with how slowly they're rolling out certain stories, right?
That's the only reason. You got a lot to cover. So maybe not.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well,
I don't have the scuttlebutt on that.
I don't know.
I kind of see where you're going, though, with Mary. I think the collapse of Downton will finally happen, and we'll see that. But it'll be, at her hands, because she's in charge now. Mm-hmm. So she will feel like she's nothing. And maybe Tom will come back. And then, if he's coming back next episode, that doesn't really work.
It doesn't mean he's...
Maybe he's not. That was just a rumor that I saw.
But if he comes back, because you know how there's... secret potential love affair with them, even though it's kind of weird because that's his wife, that they had a thing, even if they don't try to act like they didn't, there was a thing there, so maybe they will rekindle that a little bit, and she will move to America and have to survive just as Mary.
In Beantown.
If our Twitter and YouTube fans will give us their predictions, I mean, I read that one, word for word. I love them so much. I pass them along to these two. And so we appreciate you guys very much. So thank you for that.
Thanks very much for tuning in. And always send us what your thoughts are and let us know what else you want us to discuss. We're happy to do so. So tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com. You can find everything else I do there.
And you can only find me here, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.